So it was another weekend of the series of adventures in the circus that we call New Jersey politics. The show under the big top, which was the late budget, was rivaled by the sideshow on the Midway that took place outside the State House. Now that the final Chris Christie budget has been signed, and I guess in the words of the governor, he got the hell off the beach, it's time to review their events and measure the fallout. To do that, we turn to my first guest today, who is the State House reporter for the Record newspaper, Dustin Recialpi. Thanks for being here today, Dustin.
Thanks for having me.
And you can read Dustin's work and the other journalists at the Record at northjersey.com. Christie always wanted to talk about being, you know, how he's going to slash the budget, save the taxpayer money, and this was his exit sign on this budget. When you compare this budget versus the predecessors, can he claim mission accomplished?
Not necessarily. I mean, this is a budget that is, it's what the Democrats wanted. The Democrats actually love this budget, and they say it's the best one they've had in about 10 years, and that predates Christie's tenure. So there's about $325 million in legislative extras in here. About half of that is for increased school funding to underserved school districts, and that's something that the Democrats really wanted, but it's also something that Christie also called for in his budget address back in February. He said he wanted a revised school funding formula. So about half of that extra money goes towards that purpose. So that is somewhat of a win for Christie, but overall, this is more of a Democratic-heavy budget, and they are the ones who are really applauding this one.
And other places where the money went to: prisoner reentry, rape crisis centers, legal services, coin appointments, special advocates for kids, program we've talked about here often on the show, preventive health care in urban communities, cancer research, and higher education. And imagery was everything hung on Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey. But if you look at the aftermath, it seems like, again, a lot of talk and not a lot changed in that part of the issue, did it?
I guess it depends on who you ask. The governor said that he got what he wanted, but clearly he didn't. If we rewind back to February when he gave his budget address, he called for two things, among many other things, but he specifically wanted the lottery to be transferred into the public employee pension system. He got that. The other thing that he wanted was this measure on Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield in New Jersey, the state's largest insurer. He wanted Horizon to pay into a permanent fund that would go towards health services, but specifically drug treatment for the poor and uninsured, since the governor has made his final year all about drug treatment. He didn't get that. In the end, the budget holdup essentially was over Horizon. The reason that Governor Christie did sign this budget was because he did get the lottery and he did eventually get a compromise on Horizon, but he didn't get the drug treatment portion of what he had asked for. Instead, he got what is essentially a watered-down version of a transparency and accountability bill on Horizon, and instead it sets up a way for any excess money, instead of going to drug treatment, as the governor had proposed, it instead would go back to ratepayers. So, you know, they sort of split this one in half, I guess you could argue. Christie is claiming it as a win. Democrats get their budget, and everybody gets to move on. And obviously, we got it all done in time for the July 4th holiday.
So with Dustin Recialpi, who is a State House reporter for the Record newspaper, northjersey.com is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Maybe off the top of your head, but you probably know more concretely than I do, has there been a budget during the Christie years where money was actually cut from the final budget versus adding like we saw this time?
Well, the governor has used his line item veto in the past. This is probably my third budget, so there are several others in the past that I'm not intimately familiar with, but I know for a fact that he has used his line item veto, and that's a very powerful power to wield because, you know, if the Democrats don't play ball, for lack of a better term, with what the governor wants, then he gets to take out whatever priorities they had in their budget. So, and that's really what led us to this standoff when we had this government shutdown. The Democrats wanted this extra funding in the budget. Governor Christie wanted these two items, the lottery and the Horizon bill. And hanging over it all, sort of like the sword of Damocles, was Governor Christie's line item veto. If they had sent him just the straight budget without those other two bills, he would have broken out his red pen and X'd out something like 73 different line items that the Democrats had wanted in their budget. So that's where that's a significant negotiating tool for the governor, and I know that he has used it in the past. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you exactly what those different line items were.
And I'm also thinking, too, in the first two budgets, I think the amounts were lower, but then, you know, after the Corzine years, there was nowhere to go but lower. So I guess, right. I guess that, you know, that was the easy part of the job until he got further into his term in the first and second term. Looking at some of the other players in all this, let's start with Assembly Speaker Vincent Prieto, who, outside of his name recognition now probably being the highest it's ever been during his time in the State Assembly, was he a winner for playing chicken with the governor, or was he the loser because George Norcross and the Southern Democrats stepped on his throat, to say the least?
Well, again, it depends on who you ask, but clearly the Assembly Speaker Prieto, he took a firm position on this, and unlike in previous issues, he didn't really cede any ground on this one. He refused to put up the Horizon bill and refused to tie it to the budget. Now he did concede on those two points, but he said that the governor wasn't going to get this bill that would go back to a permanent fund. And he wasn't really keen on the proposal for increased transparency as it was proposed by Governor Christie. He did say, as they were reaching the standoff, he did say that he would be more amenable to doing something where any extra excess reserves from Horizon would go back to ratepayers. And that ultimately is what happened. So looking at it that way, you could say that it's a win. Looking at it another way, you could say, well, he drew a line in the sand and he crossed it or he backed off. And ultimately, Horizon was tied to the budget. So, again, it depends on who you ask. Any one of these particular players in here, you can see that there was an upside and also a downside. But as Governor Christie said, that's the nature of compromise.
This is true. Anyone thinking of challenging Prieto for Speaker, are they going to wait till after the elections if anyone would be thinking of that?
There was some rumblings as the budget deadline neared last week that there would be sort of a coup attempt in the Assembly, and it was never really concrete on how that would go. And nobody was really on the record with their name attached to it saying how that would happen. But approaching the November elections, we're probably looking at an attempt for the assemblyman from Middlesex County, Craig Coughlin, to try to unseat Vincent Prieto as Speaker. But, you know, from July to November, a lot of things can happen, so we'll have to see about that.
Interesting note that this one, to me at least, kind of flew under the radar screen. Senate President Steve Sweeney, I've been getting a lot of heat from education associations groups, especially NJEA, for, as I guess their favorite term was, Sweeney hitching his wagon to Christie. But Sweeney was not going to pass a budget without the Horizon bill for the financial and fiscal and education funding reasons you just referred to. So would that stand? Out of all this, do you think Sweeney got some of that NJEA heat off of him?
That's a good question. We'll have to see how the summer and the early portion of the fall plays out. But clearly, Steve Sweeney is has been in the crosshairs of the NJEA. And given the way that they have attacked him in recent weeks and months and lashed him to Christie, it's hard to see how they might back off that and suddenly, be pals with him.
Although I'm sure their heat would be a little more intense if he was one of the candidates for governor as opposed to just standing pat. But it was interesting. It looked like Sweeney was playing chess more than checkers in all this. He was looking for one move to affect another as far as his personal concerns were we're all about.
That's right. And the interesting thing, I think, about this whole budget standoff situation is that Steve Sweeney was really flying under the radar the whole time.
Yeah.
He was standing right by the side of Governor Christie and pushing the Christie agenda. Meanwhile, Governor Christie and the Assembly Speaker Prieto, they had their own war of words and public clash. So the Senate President Sweeney sort of stood off to the side, and he evaded really all this attention in the public. And, you know, it's funny because now this shutdown is the face of Governor Christie is the face of this shutdown. The Speaker, he had, as you noted from the outset, he had probably his highest level of notoriety in the public, but it's still not that much. People likely don't know who Vincent Prieto or Steve Sweeney are, and especially now Steve Sweeney, after all this, his hands are pretty clean in the public's view.
Yeah, he was the one that came through the fire without even a singe mark, wrapping over time with Dustin Recioppi, who was the State House reporter for the Record newspaper, NorthJersey.com, their website, listening to Issues and Ideas. And tied into what most people, including myself, are calling one of the dumbest PR moves a politician could possibly make, Christie on the Beach, which we'll touch on that briefly because it's been pretty much treaded over enough times. But Lieutenant Governor and GOP candidate for Governor Kim Gridano releases the following on social media. It's beyond words referring to the governor on the beach when it was closed. If I were a governor, I sure wouldn't be sitting on the beach if taxpayers didn't have access to the same beaches. We need to end the shutdown now. It's hurting small businesses in ordinary New Jersey. And instead of political games, Governor Christie, Speaker Prieto, and Senate President Sweeney should pass a budget that delivers property tax relief and puts taxpayers first. Was that something she had to do, or is she getting bonus points for doing it?
I think it's something that she had to do, and this was really for her a layup. You know, she's been trying in many different ways to distance herself from Governor Christie because he's so unpopular, and also because she has to distinguish herself. So when Governor Christie is on the front page of the state's largest newspaper and his image of him lounging on the beach is ricocheting around the globe on the internet across different news sites, I mean, there's no greater opportunity for Kim Gridano or any other candidate, for that matter, to try to capitalize on it and distinguish themselves and really attack Christie on that. You know, and it's also very convenient for her to make these suggestions because she's not the governor. She's a campaigner. And as Governor Christie has said and will say, it's a lot easier to walk the walk or talk the talk than it is to walk the walk when you're governor.
And just to spend a token moment on what everyone else is spending the majority of the time on, the Christie on the beach, he didn't get sun, he had a baseball cap on. Christie's, well, run for governor and you can be on the beach too. I mean, is there any question now that he just doesn't care anymore? It's all in the rearview mirror as far as he's concerned.
I don't think there is much of a question about that. But keep in mind that Governor Christie has never really cared. And he said this the other night before he signed the budget, that he doesn't care about political optics. I don't know if I believe him 100%. I think that he does care about his image and the way he's portrayed in the public eye. I think he doesn't care when it's negative, when he gets blowback, or when people make jokes, or he's a late-night punchline. I think he doesn't care then. And to him, it's all about how he benefits. He has shown over the course of his tenure that he does have he likes living the life. He likes taking the helicopter to New York, or he likes taking it down to the beach house.
Or to his son's baseball game.
Or, yeah, take the helicopter to a baseball game, and he completely disregards any of the criticism. So in that respect, yes, he does not care for political optics. I think he cares about New Jersey. He's the governor. He has always cared about New Jersey. But in terms of what the public thinks about him, now, I don't think he really has ever cared if he's been viewed in negative light. And certainly he doesn't care now on his way out the door.
But then you can counter that by saying if he had a 65% approval instead of 15% approval, he may have been able to swing a heavier hammer during this whole budget debate before the deadline.
certainly that argument could be made. He came to the table in this final budget with very little political clout, if you will. But again, going back to what I said earlier, he's still the most powerful governor in the country in terms of his constitutional authority. He has that line item veto. So that's still very, those are very powerful tools.
This is true, and he did make as much use of it as he possibly could, like the results or not. And just one further example of how New Jersey politics can be one of America's favorite spectator sports in this past week certainly proved that. Read more about what happens in the State House and throughout the states. The Record newspaper is the one place to go to, and the State House reporter, for the record, is one of the sources of making sense of all the circus. Dustin Recialpi, and Dustin, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.